This triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem shows us a pattern for radical worship, really. And I know we've all heard the story how Jesus came in riding on a donkey. And you know, I can think about how the people were shouting and throwing palm branches down and waving them. And they were dancing and they were so excited about Jesus. The Messiah has come in. And what they were, their expectations of this is written in Ezekiel. And in the book of Ezekiel, and I'm going to read this here, or I said Ezekiel, but it's Zechariah chapter 9. And it says, "Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly, and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will take away the chariots from Ephraim, and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bowl will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations, and his rule will extend from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will free your prisoners from this waterless pit. Return to your fortress, you prisoners of hope. Even now I announce that I will restore twice as much to you. I will bend Judah as I bend my bow and fill it with Ephraim. And I will rouse your sons, Zion, against your sons, Greece, and make you like a warrior sword." So whenever they were thinking about the coming of the Messiah, this is what they were thinking, this picture here. And so they were rejoicing and they were expecting this King of Kings to come. And as I was thinking about this, now I remember back longer than I thought it was, but you know, right before Lee and I got married, I was in the military, and we started seeing this escalation overseas in Iraq, and and then after we were married, you know, then we got involved in it, you know, with this guy, this crazy guy by the name of Saddam Hussein. And I can remember watching, and I know I remember because my unit was on alert, and I was expecting at any time to get called, you know, out to go. You know, we already had our paperwork. We were starting to get geared up to go, and we were ready. But we hadn't received the red light or the green light, I mean, to go. And so, but I can remember watching on TV crowds of people shouting and praising as Saddam Hussein drove through the city. And they were shooting their guns up in the air, and they were just shouting, I mean, with everything that they had. And they were dancing in the street, and they were praising Saddam Hussein. And I'm thinking, this crazy guy, I mean, this guy was insane, you know? And I'm thinking, these people must be crazy as well, because how could they worship and praise? And that's what they were doing. They were worshiping this guy. And how could they worship somebody like this? You know, how could they do that? And he killed people. He poisoned people. And it seems like, though, that people need somebody like that to worship. They need somebody like that. They need a king. Somebody to follow and somebody to worship. And if people can be so radical towards a guy like that, I think, why can't we be radical like that before our King of Kings and Lord of Lords? And, you know, the triumphal entry here of Jesus in Jerusalem gives us this picture that of a radical worship that the people had, you know, that they gave him, and he accepted it. This is the first time that he really accepted this, because before he always pointed, well, you give my Father in heaven, he's the one that deserves everything. He never put himself in this position until now. And so in this picture that we're seeing, I think that it's the same kind of radical worship that we should be giving him today. I think that we should worship him, you know, with everything that we have. And true worship requires radical obedience. It requires radical obedience and preparation. And when we read this story, I find this right here in chapter 11 of Mark. And it's written in Matthew and Luke and Mark and in John. There are accounts of this. And in chapter 11, in verse 1, it says, as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage in Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and just as you entered it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you doing this? Say, the Lord needs it and will send it back here shortly. They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. And as they untied it, some people standing there asked, what are you doing untying that colt? And they answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. Okay, and I want to stop right there. It says, so we find this obedience right here. They had to go to an unknown house. They had to retrieve an unknown colt, and they had to answer questions from unknown people. And the only thing they had to do was go on Jesus's word. And I can remember, you know, referring back to my military time, I can remember that when I was a private, I would get asked sometimes by the sergeant, you know, to drive a vehicle, because I drove for a little bit. As private, you just do whatever they tell you to do. And I can remember, you know, that sometimes the first sergeant would come in and he'd say, Private Wright, I need you to go to the motor pool and get a deuce and a half. And I didn't, you know, there was no, I didn't ask why, because I didn't need to ask why. I didn't need to ask how come. I didn't need to ask anything. All I needed to say is, yes, sergeant, and I would go to the motor pool. And so when I would get to the motor pool sergeant would say, what do you need? And I would say, I need a deuce and a half. I'm here to get this deuce and a half. And he would give me the proper paperwork. He would always ask me, why do you need it? And I would always say, because Sergeant Hoskins told me to, you know, because that's why I'm here, because he told me to. There was no other, explanation. I had no other knowledge of anything else other than Sergeant Hoskins told me to come here and get this vehicle. And that was it. He told me to. And the motor pool sergeant would always say, okay. You know, he never asked why. He never asked anything. He just said, okay. And I thought about this scripture here. Here's the disciples going to get this donkey. And they're untying it. And these guys ask, why are you taking this donkey? And he said, well, because the Lord told me to. And they're like, okay. You know, there was, it, you find that fascinating there. But the only thing they had to go on was Jesus' word, and they could have been arrested for theft, you know, because they could have been ridiculed. They could have been, you know, they didn't understand. They didn't know, but they just did it. And I think about in my life, you know, can I be that obedient to Christ when he asked me, go do this or go do that? Am I willing to just go without question? I don't need to question God. God has a reason for everything, and I don't need to question him. I just need to be obedient to him. And, you know, the Bible, you know, the Bible is full of radical obedience. When we read in the scriptures, you know, Noah built the ark, took him 100 years. That's radical obedience right there. I mean, we think about that. That's crazy. You know, for somebody to build a boat when it never rained, they never knew what, never, you know, but he just did it. You know, Abraham is a leap of faith when he left Ur, and the Hebrews leaving Egypt. You think about that. Over and over, you know, they knew they were going to leave. They ate special meal for the road. They painted their door frames with blood. You think about that. And they kept their sandals on for years, and their clothes never wore out. You know, but they just kept going. And they wandered around in the wilderness for 40 years. You know, But radical obedience today is still required. God still requires that. That's not something of the past. That is still something that we need to focus on today. And I believe it's a requirement from God's people. You know, if we're going to live for our King, we need to live as if we're living for a King, is what I'm trying to say. You know, we need to live like Jesus is. You know, we claim to be Christians. We claim to have Jesus in our heart. Then we need to act like that Jesus really is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We need to have that. And, you know, we need to follow him, though. We need to prepare our hearts through prayer and meditation. And we need to prepare our souls with daily worship and praises and blessings and songs. And we need to follow in faith wherever he leads. And, you know, sometimes, you know, we may have to move. And sometimes that's just down the road just a little bit. Amen. Sometimes it's just down the road a little bit, but sometimes it may be the next county. Sometimes it may be the next city. Sometimes it may be the next state. Or even sometimes it may be in another country. But we still have to be obedient. You may have to talk to people with whom you ordinarily wouldn't talk to. You may have to do something you have never done before. And if you aren't ever getting out of your comfort zone, then you probably aren't being radically obedient. And that's something I think, you know, sometimes God, he will take you out of your comfort zone and put you in a place where you've never been before. And I'm not saying it's always in a foreign country. It may be just down the road just a little bit. It may be speaking to somebody where it's way out of your comfort zone to do. Just like this doing church on video, way out of my comfort zone, way out. But, you know, I feel I was like, Lord, you've got to help me with this. Lord, you've got to show me. You've got to teach me. You've got to instruct me on what to do. And that's, we may have to do things. You know, like now, we didn't expect something like this in the world to happen. We didn't expect something like this in our community to happen. But yet it has happened. And yet we still have to act like the church. We still have to be the church. And we have to do something different like we've never done before. But that doesn't change who's in our heart and who we're serving, because Jesus is still the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen? He's still on the throne. And so if you aren't getting out, I'm just telling you, just listen. Listen to what God has to say to you. True worship requires sacrifice. And sometimes it's a radical sacrifice. And let's look at Mark 11, 7 and 8. We'll go on reading. It says, when they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. And many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King coming kingdom of our fathers David. Hosanna in the highest of heavens. Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple courts, and he looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. And, whenever there is a conflict of war that requires military action, I want to say this as another thought that came to me. There's almost always somebody in the military who decides that the cost is too high. And I remember Jesus' words. He said, count the cost of being my disciple. We have to count that. But I think some people, they count that the cost of being a disciple is too high. And I remember a story about a staff sergeant who originally was from Nicaragua, who joined the U.S. Army. And he wanted to fight overseas. And he was assigned to the 53rd Infantry Brigade as an infantryman whose main job was to fight on the front lines. And despite almost 10 years of service that he had in the Army, this sergeant became one of the almost 600 soldiers. And that, you know, that really broke my heart. But 600 soldiers went AWOL during the Iraq War. So far, he decided that the goal was not worth the sacrifice. You know, I'm afraid that many people who claim Jesus as the king are much like that sergeant. And they still wear the uniform, but they're unwilling to make that sacrifice. And so worship today, to me, worship today requires radical sacrifice personally and corporately. We have to come together not only personally every day, but also corporately as we're doing this morning. We have to come and praise him. And we have to worship, you know, to radically worship, we must be willing to radically sacrifice our time. You know, how much time do you give God every day? How much time do you give God every week? You know, so it's a sacrifice to many of us. And some give just an hour on Sunday. And that's just not enough, is it? And to radically worship, you must be willing to sacrifice everything that you have at times. To radically worship, we must be willing to sacrifice our talents. And I know that some people have a voice to sing. And if your voice, if your talent is singing, then sing. If your talent is teaching, then teach. If your talent is encouragement or encouraging others, then do that. And many of us have all kinds of gifts. And God has given each and every one of us a special gift. And if that's your gift and God's pressuring you to do it, and it's out of your comfort zone, and it always will be, then just do it. Do what God has called you to do. You know, the disciples and the crowds, I can just imagine that they sacrificed themselves for Jesus. And it says that they threw their cloaks on the ground and on the coat's back. And, you know, back then, the cloak was a status symbol. It was a status symbol for a lot of people. And it was decorated and made from fine material. And it would have, and the rich people would have put beautiful ornaments and fine lace on it and precious stones, and they would have embroidered it. And, you know, but men wore the fringe with blue ribbons on the hemline of the cloak to remind them of the constant presence of the Lord's commandments. That's what that was about. And it talks about that in Numbers chapter 15, verse 38. But for a poor person is also used, they use their cloak also as a bed sheet. That's what they slept in. And so they were willing to cast their bed sheets under the hooves of this colt. And true worship requires radical praise. What I mean is the crowds praised with all their might. And I can't imagine, they were willing to throw their bedclothes on the ground before Jesus. And the crowds praised with all their might. They shouted and they danced and dance, that's something that the Nazarene church doesn't do, right? You know, we shuffle, but we don't dance, right? But they danced. David danced. They blessed the Lord. They followed behind him. They followed in front of him. And they sang his praises with all their might. I think about that. You know, praising. Have you ever done anything with all your might? Have you ever danced with all your might? Yeah, I mean, it wears you out, right? But how many of you have ever praised God with all your might to the point of exhaustion, to the point, you know, you think about that. If you ever sang to him to the point of exhaustion, if you ever worshiped him like that. And I'd see this whole crowd as Jesus comes down from you know, Bethany and Bethes was just outside the city of Jerusalem, and as it was up, you know, on the eastern slope of Mount Olive, on the Mount of Olives, and you know, it was like, you know, coming from where to Berryville, you know, the village just outside of Jonesboro, and then into Anna, you know. And it's some, you know, it's similar to that, is as they were coming through. And I can imagine as Jesus coming down and all these people are shouting Hosanna and praising and shouting and dancing and just worshiping him with all their might, with all their might. And in 2 Samuel, we see a picture of this. In 2 Samuel chapter 6, 14 and 16, it says David, it's talking about King David. David, wearing a linen, danced before the Lord with all his might, while he and his entire house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouts and the sound of trumpets as the ark of the Lord was entering the city of David. You know, I can imagine that. Here's David, and they're playing their trumpets, and they're playing their harps, and they're shouting, and they're singing, and David's dancing. And, you know, and he's dancing, and it also referred to the daughter of Saul watched from a window. And when she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she despised him in her heart. And I think, you know, the world around us, and sometimes even people in the church, despise us sometimes when we get so excited about Jesus. And I think, but that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to be excited about him. He wants us to be radically, you know, transformed into his, you know, in his presence, that we realize he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What a great, you know, David danced with all his might, it says. He danced with all his might. And I think, when's the last time have we ever come into church? When's the last time we ever, you know, danced and praised him and sang and worshiped him with all of our might at church? You know, or as we come together, even personally at home, when's the last time we've ever just praised him with all your might into the point of pure exhaustion? David was so excited about bringing the ark home. And so these people, when we read about these people, when Jesus was entering Jerusalem, they were so excited about the Messiah is here. He's come to deliver us. He's come, we worship him. What an awesome picture. And I think most of us are even afraid to shout amen in church or to share our testimony with someone, because we all have a testimony. If you're saved and you're a believer in Jesus Christ this morning, you have a testimony, because your life has been transformed. Your life has been radically changed from who you were to who you are today. And I know my life was. And it may not be a physical transformation, but it sure was a spiritual transformation. My life was radically changed, and I want to praise the one who radically changed me, which is Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It says that David was leaping and dancing before the Lord. And so I believe that that's no different than today. This is not something that passed away. This is something that should be continued on. Our hearts spiritually should be praising and worshiping him with all our might. You know, sometimes it's vocal, but it's also a blessing. Sometimes we sing it out loud. Sometimes we speak it in praise. Sometimes it's physical. Sometimes it's lifting up our hands. Sometimes it's standing up. Sometimes it's even dancing and leaping. Sometimes it's even walking around in the sanctuary, as I've witnessed Brother Curly do from time to time, when he just can't help himself and the Holy Spirit gets a hold of him and he says, I've got to praise my Lord and Savior in whatever way that I can. And so he walks. You know, it's a spiritual thing. It's the joy of God that's within our heart. Let the joy of the Lord be in your heart. Let the awe of God. Man, it's amazing. We serve an amazing God. He does amazing things. And we should be in awe of that. We have a union with God. We have been brought into a relationship with Him. And we become one with Him. I think that this true worship, this radical worship, comes with expectations, preparations, and sacrifice. When we come to worship together, I think we should come to worship expecting the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to walk down the aisle. And we should praise Him and we should wave whatever we have in our hands, whether it's palm branches or our hankies, whatever. I know most of us don't carry hankies anymore, right? But we can wave our hands and we can sing praises and we can shout His name. Amen?
Amen, Pastor.
We should come to worship Him expecting it. We should prepare for worship throughout the week. It should be a great day. Our Sundays should be special. We should wait. We should desire it. We should prepare for it all week, that when we all can come together, we should be able to come together excited, worship and praise the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It should be like that triumphal entry every day, and especially every Sunday. Not only that, it should be at our homes, with our families, at our work, at our play, no matter what we're doing. This worship should be in our hearts. This joy that fills our hearts should be there every day. But I know that comes with sacrifice. I know it comes with giving up our time. We have to give up what we have sometimes. What we want. Sometimes, to give the one who provides the praise and glorification that He deserves. We have to spend time in prayer. And I believe it's so important that we be involved. We have to be involved. There is no believer absent from being involved in ministry. So I encourage you this morning. Hosanna. Praise Him. Shout His holy name. Amen. our internet connection's kind of weakened out a little bit. So if you guys missed some of that, I just encourage you all, remember today to shout his name, to praise him, to worship him, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, because, you know, just in this time today, you know, on Palm Sunday, just 6 days from now, they turned on him, and they just completely turned. And they ridiculed him. His praises went from praise his holy name to crucify him. So remember that as we prepare for this week, through this week. Let him radically change your life. Amen. Love you guys. I'll tell you, if you don't know Jesus today, just let him be the Lord of your life. Amen.